Hello, everyone.
All right.
Welcome to Two Spoons of Coffee. Today, we're going to be chatting the usual bollocks. No real change
Brilliant.
From the usual. You know, you've tuned in, so you probably...
Love it.
If this is your first time tuning in, then we apologise for what you're about to consume. If this is more than once, I hope you enjoy the show. We're Two Spoons of Coffee. Hello, chap.
How you doing? You all right?
Yeah, I'm all right, mate. How are you?
Yeah, all right. Have you had a haircut?
No, I've just got it tied back.
Oh, I see. It's the headphones made you like a fucking egg on your head.
Thank you. I appreciate that, actually. Yeah. Anything fun happened to you this week?
Do you know what? I've written them down. I've got a couple of stories for you.
Have you? Oh, yes. Yeah. Great.
Because this is brilliant.
Okay.
I went... Last week or the week before, I went to see Ed Sheeran in Cardiff.
Did you?
Yeah, that was fun.
Did you get with a lookalike?
Do you know what? Surprisingly, I did get a lot of free merch. Yeah, it was cool though. We drove up on the day.
Right.
Drove up to Cardiff.
Oh, to Cardiff.
And of course, there was like 40,000 people descending.
Yeah.
So,
brilliant.
It was chaos. A 3-hour drive actually took about 6 hours.
Oh.
Which was impressive, wasn't it?
I'm surprised you made it in...
Well, do you know, so it said on the tickets that the show started at 5, but obviously that's to get everyone in for like 5:30, 6 when the first act come on.
Yeah, obviously.
We pulled into the car park at 5 o'clock.
All right.
And then we had to go and get something to eat and have a drink. And then we got in. We got into the stadium. We then... queued up for merchandise for another like half an hour. Nothing for me. and then we popped in. We saw what was the girl's name that was that there was Millie something or whatever, I can't remember her name, sorry. Oh no, Maisie Peters.
All right.
But she was supporting Ed Sheeran. There was a couple of them supporting, but she was the one that we saw for Ed sort of thing. So that was pretty good.
All right, cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, man.
Is this the wife's favourite singer?
Yeah, so that's the second time she's seen him.
All right, nice.
So that was nice. She got tickets for her birthday last year.
Oh, okay.
And obviously, bear in mind this was like September, right, that she got the tickets.
Yeah.
So I didn't ask work for the day off until 2 weeks before. So nearly 6 months before I asked for the day off, so that's good.
So...
got it off though.
I'm assuming you stayed somewhere in Cardiff that night. You can't be...
Oh, no, that's the kicker. So,
nah, you did drive home.
Yeah. So,
oh,
imagine it finished at 11, right? So then we drove back and I think we got back at, I want to say like 2 o'clock. Do you know what I mean? There or thereabouts.
Done that for a laugh.
Well, went to sleep, got back up at 5 o'clock, went to work.
Fuck! you drove the whole way back?
No, do you know what? Luckily, her dad drove. So that was nice. He came in as well. It wasn't, yeah.
You took her dad with you?
Yeah, and her sister. It was cool, man.
Legend. All right, fair play. All right. So you didn't all go up in your car, surely?
No, we went up in his... He's got a company car, but it's a brand new Mercedes something or other.
All right, that's fine then.
It was very, very, very nice.
Yeah, get all four of you crammed into the back of your Ford KA.
Imagine that.
Okay. This little... legs up round your ankles, around your ears, kind of shit.
Everyone comfy. I can feel everyone breathing. Don't worry about that.
You can taste the breath. this is a good one for you. So Ford KAs now. Well, I think since, I don't know, the Mark IIIs or something. I like just I like the small Fiestas, right? But the back isn't that bad. But you'll remember the old Ford KAs, which you know had two seats in the back. But did they really have two seats in the back?
Are we talking about the eggs?
Yeah, basically the fucking literally the shittest looking vehicle outside of the Balkans.
I mean, they were. Yeah, it was like the orange peel mobile. Brilliant.
They really were. And I don't know how or in what shape of mind they were when they designed them. But anyway, that's kind of irrelevant. The point is, you know how uncomfortable they were. Well, me and my brother, my mum, used to go on this camping trip every holiday, every summer, with a bunch of other Christian homeschoolers. Sure. Anyway.
Legends, as we call them.
Yeah, absolute champions. Love a drink.
Oh, yeah, they can't get guzzling, don't they?
Pissed off the communion one, you know.
We're on holiday. Get it in you.
Neck that, thank you. There was one day, so there was one year where the day before we were due to go, the car just packed up and had to go off to the garage for, you know, whatever. But basically, we were going to miss a couple of days. But a friend of ours who lived about half an hour away was driving to it as well with her family. Now, she had a car, Ford KA. Now, we lived obviously near where you live, and we were driving into rural Devon, so about 2.5 hours away. And the front seat belt on this Ford KA on the passenger side was broken. It snapped. She'd never got it repaired. So no one could sit in the front, basically. Or at least she wouldn't let us sit in the front. So
safe, at least.
Yeah, well, no. I don't know. Anyway, and it was pissing it down with rain as well. So my brother, being about 6'2", 6'3", and built like a brick shit house, and me, who, I mean, I was 15, so I wasn't that big, but
still lanky.
You know, it's still, yeah, still enough, right? Shoved into the back of this Ford KA for 110 nice. Miles in the pissing rain, and no word of a lie, because of how heavy my brother was, the differential on the left was mad. So the car was drifting to the left in the rain, and she was literally like that. You know, she was pulling the steering wheel all the way to the right because of how heavy my brother was. You know, and we were, you know, me and her sat on the same side, and he was about twice our weight combined. So he was just fucking pulling it off. I've never felt more unsafe in a vehicle. Honestly, the braking distance was a joke. You know, she was braking 2 miles back and ending up in someone's boot. it's so dangerous. I got out of that, and for the whole week I was getting cramp in my lower back. I'm sure I claim on insurance on that.
That's not good, is it?
Nah, it wasn't. It was not fun.
Do you know, we're talking about being in uncomfortable places. When we were kids,
oh yeah, that's always good.
When we were kids, there was this cupboard, right? No, I'm joking. We used to get, do you know what, there was no health and safety when I was a kid. There was one of my mates, his dad had a van, right? But you know, classic. Them vans where you've got like one seat in the front and a passenger seat, and then that's it. There's the rest of it's obviously open space, right?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. With a cab,
there was be like 4 or 5 kids in the back of this van, like marbles, just bouncing around. Right. You know what I mean? Like no seatbelts, nothing. Back. Yeah, just bouncing from side to side. Brilliant.
In the dark, like best some days.
Yeah, there was no lights in it. It was just honestly, you got out like a fucking tumble dryer. No idea what's going on. That was good. That was good.
You lost and one then, along the way. That was Jimmy. Yeah, he's gone now.
Don't worry about him. He's a sleeping policeman now. He's a fucking road bum. Don't worry about it. It's all right. Oh, I think Ben's died in traffic out there.
Classic. Yeah, we've all been there.
Brilliant.
I've travelled in the boot a couple of times.
Well, do you know, I was going to say that as well. I don't know what car it was, but there was a car that my mate's mum had, and it was one that when you open the boot, like it had 2 seats in the front and then 2 seats in the back, or 3 seats, whatever. But then if you open the boot, there was another 2 seats there.
Oh yeah.
But they were like just seat belts in the boot. It was really weird.
That's not a car. That's someone's put seatbelts to the back.
I think someone's restraining someone in there.
Yeah, someone's strapping someone down. That's hilarious.
But that was weird.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, man. And it was the last one I remember. We were going to my mate's birthday party, right? And his dad Russell had picked us up. And there was, again, it must have been like a little Nova or something. It was like a 4-door, a 2-door, 4-seater job, right? But again, there was like 6 kids, Astra. Right?
Yeah.
So you've got obviously one in the front, 2 in the back, and then there was like 3 of us sat in the footwell.
Yeah.
What's that? Like just crammed in.
Hang on. Is that in a footwell?
Yeah. It's like one in each footwell, right? And then, I'm not joking. Yeah, Russell, his dad, he was just driving, and then all of a sudden, this horrific fart, right? Imagine this is the days where you had wind down windows, and the geese going, "Don't wind that window down, son." And then and we're all trapped in there, fucking Russell fart. Do you know what I mean?
Gassing, oh, mate, getting gassed.
It was horrific. It was one of the worst experiences of my life as a kid.
So there was a child sat between
directly under his arsehole. Like directly, you know, like head to bum job.
So he's gotten out of that and had to convince some parent.
Yeah. What, ping pie? No idea where he's got that from, pal. Absolutely. Absolutely lost his fucking custard in the lad's eye. There's no need for that, is there? Gob full of it on the way home. Fucking hell. Happy birthday, son.
That's heinous.
Oh,
fuck me. That is terrible, that. Jeez.
Yeah, it's not. Those were the days, man. Yeah, they were the days. There was no health and safety. If you got pulled over by the police, yeah, he would unwind the window and they go, "Oh, don't worry about it, mate. On you go. Don't worry about it. Good luck, kids."
Yeah, have fun. Have fun.
Moving on.
You know, there's a guy in my village who quite friendly with, and I often do sort of odd jobs with him or whatever. Just give him a hand on his farm. And his 4x4, he's always making these short little trips, but his 4x4 is fairly new, so it's got one of those beepers that let you know if you're not strapped in. But because he's always making trips around the farm and you can't turn it off, all he's done is he's just cut his seatbelt off and just got the little clip and clipped it in the clip all the time.
Nice.
That kind of thing. Done it on all of them, you know, so you can't even put your seatbelt on if you want to.
Yeah, you're just fucked. That's it.
Fuck you.
I had that in the Suzuki that I had. I mean, this was within the first like 2 years, but the seatbelt thing, you know, the button, it just got stuck, so it wouldn't lift again.
Oh, brilliant.
So you couldn't put the seatbelt in unless you had to do it, you know, you did it about 25 times. Like you're having a little fucking hand job before you get on with the day, you know. But that was brilliant. If you don't want to put your seatbelt on, it's never going to flash at you or make a noise because it thinks it's working. Brilliant.
That is genius.
Smashed it.
Oh, actually, that reminds me. So I was going to tell you about this. So today, I got a speeding ticket a couple of months ago, and because it was my first one, they said, you know, we'll put you on a course.
Yes.
Basically, you don't have to put the points or whatever. So they said it's £100 for the privilege of going on a 3-hour course.
Yeah, it's painful, isn't it?
Fuck me, mate. That's 3 hours of my life. I am never getting back. I was being taught how to suck eggs.
Literally, no.
For 3 hours. And, you know.
Really got yourself to blame, pal.
Yeah. Well, cheers. That's helpful, that.
Look, more helpful than that fucking 3-hour course, I tell you.
Oh, God. I mean, it was useful in the extent that it got me out of something else that was worse.
Yeah, driving. So
I'll tell you about it in a minute. But it was just fucking boring in the extreme. You know, one of them was an ex-teacher and one of them had been giving these talks for apparently 20 years. And I just thought, well, no wonder you know, you look like you've just been electrocuted and reanimated.
Brilliant. They're definitely the kind of people that are going to end up killing themselves alone and their cat's going to eat both their ears before anyone finds them.
100%. There's no doubt about it. But it was an experience of seeing what other kind of people were on that course, because it was an equal split between people who just thought it was a laugh, people who were truly embarrassed to be there and like trying to hide their faces by wearing masks, and then the rest. I mean, the other 50% really were people who clearly just didn't get out much, and that this was a great opportunity to show off.
They did it on purpose, just to say hello. Yeah.
Their irrelevant lives, you know. Yeah. That was a shocker of an afternoon spent there.
So I've been on two or three of them. Well, I think I've been on three of them, to be fair.
Have you?
And they're always, I mean, they're the same thing. They're not, you know, they're not, nothing changes, which is fun.
Yeah.
But they do like to shame you, don't they? Like they,
oh, yeah.
At the start of it, they'll go, right, I want you to tell me your name and why you're here. You go, well, why do you think I'm here?
Yeah.
Do you know what I did? I drove in to the front of your house. That's why I'm here. Because I couldn't get the car out. Can someone fucking help? But yeah, so anyway, so they're like that. And as you're right, there's always the same sort of split of people as well. It's always either like older people that didn't realise that they were even driving, and the young people that are walking around faster than they were driving. They got places to go, pal. You know, they need to go somewhere yesterday. And then you've got the ones in the middle, or the parents and things that essentially have anything better to do, or wish they had something better to do.
Yeah.
Anyway, my point is, I remember this one chat quite vividly, right? I was probably 20, 21, and this lad must have been 18, like he must have only just passed his test. Now, do you know Julian's Bridge in Wimborne?
Yep.
It's essentially like a lane and a half as opposed to two lanes, right?
Yep.
So this kid, when we were going around the circle, I'm asking, why are you here? He had a good old laugh, he did. Brilliant. The rest of us were all going, I'm here because I did a bit of speed and a couple of miles over. Just unlucky to get caught, really. He chirps up and he goes, I've only been driving a couple of weeks and I tried to overtake someone on the bridge. And it wasn't big enough. And then there was a police car waiting for me on the other side of the bridge. Oh, he got good. He got done so good. But you imagine, he got away with it because he went on a little course.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
What happened there? He could have quite easily killed someone. Give him the fucking points.
Yeah, no, you should be at that point. I mean, I got done for going 36 in a 30, which...
Oh, mate, grow up.
I know. I mean, the thing is, I know full well. So I remember reading a statistic was that on average, at any one time, about a third of the traffic cameras in Britain won't be working.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a funny part, okay? So it is a camera hidden by trees as you go into Exeter from the side of Exeter that I live on, right?
Sure.
And, it's as you go down a hill. So Andy. Basically, the thing is that when you're coming into Exeter from that bit, you've been driving at about 40, 50. So, they're trying to catch you as you're coming into a residential area. As you're going
through the, yeah.
Yeah. So actually, to be fair, I have a problem with the camera placement because that's a good place to put a camera to stop people speeding into Exeter.
Yeah.
It makes sense. What pissed me off was that I know on a number of occasions, right. So I remember this one occasion I went through it at about 40 and forgot that forgot that there was a camera there, but it didn't flash because it was broken.
Yeah.
And then, so that didn't get me. And then I was hyper conscious of it. And then they've obviously fixed it and had me going at, 5 miles an hour less than the speed I was doing it before, which is.
And then you feel more ridiculous that you've been caught by it.
Yeah.
Again, I could have been caught by it several times, but. Cheers.
So, I mean, it's what it is.
It does feel like a complete waste of time. I mean, I know it's better than taking the points, but
well,
sometimes you think I'd rather just take the L and get on with it, take the points and go.
I think because it's my first offence, they didn't even put points on my licence. They just said, either pay a fine or do this because it's your first offence.
Well, it's what I mean, when I've been caught the last three times that I've been to these courses, you get the choice of points or the course, but then I've been caught several times when I didn't want to do the course. So right, I just take the points in it.
How many points you got in your license now?
None now.
Right.
But imagine I've been on three driver's awareness courses and I've had 9 points as well.
Fuck.
It's a lot of speeding, pal. I was busy. I was double busy, man. I had things to do.
That's six speeding tickets. That's 600 quid.
Yeah, no, tell me about it. Wonder why I've got their money.
That's more to the point. I don't give a shit about the points. Just fucking money, isn't it?
Yeah, see, it's the cash.
And my dad's a funny one. Like he got caught speeding a few times. But there was one time in particular he got caught speeding going 32 and a 30. And he wrote... Like they wrote to him and they said, do you want to go on this course for 100 quid? Bearing in mind that my dad is so old school that he's never updated his driver's license. So he's still got a paper driver's license.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah.
From the one he got in 1978 or something. and, he instead of going on this course, he wrote in to the police and explained why he wouldn't be going on their condescending little course. And he put a lot of effort into it.
It's exactly how I imagine you would be. I'll be writing him a letter
next time. Yeah, he's just a strongly worded letter explaining exactly why it was completely irrelevant.
This will sort them out.
Yeah,
this will sort them out. This will tell them.
So, I think he's still got a copy of it somewhere. It was very funny.
It's brilliant, yeah.
Have you ever read the time-wasting letters? No?
I don't know. What do you mean?
No, because there's a book.
Oh, okay. So the context, no, I haven't.
Sorry. It was a book by a guy who's the time-wasting letters. He worked with Ricky Gervais on The Office, right?
Oh, right.
Robert Popper. Oh. Robert Popper, that's the guy. Robin Cooper.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's basically just a series of letters. Some of them he actually... Robin Cooper, sorry. It's a series of letters that he wrote into different organisations, but also ones that he just kind of imagined. Basically just, like, chatting shit. So, like, he wrote into the National Association of Bowlers or something in the UK. And suggested new rules for bowling and the rest of it. Mm. And it's basically like, you know, the replies he was getting and the full length of it and how pissed off he could make them.
Brilliant.
The rest of it. Some of them are genius, man. You would love that book. So yeah, The Time Waster Letters by Robin Cooper.
Well, I've just looked it up and I'm looking at, you know, you can have a little look at the pages.
Yeah. Have a little look at that. It's so funny.
These are brilliant. There's just one that's Strange Creatures in My Pond, and he's drawn it with tentacles and wings and a beak.
Yeah.
Oh, it's brilliant.
Yeah, he's like trying to get them to know it. It's so fucking good.
You're right. It's just a letter of taking a piss out of these people, and then he's actually drawn pictures and things.
Yeah. I think some of them he has just like imagine, like there's one about scarecrows, and I think it's like the National Association of Scarecrow or whatever, but I think the majority of them he actually did do, and it's just kind of up to you whether or not you take them seriously, but they're just very, very funny.
Yeah, no, they are, they're brilliant. I'm going to stop looking at them now because really eating into the old podcast time. Thank you.
Tell you what I've been watching a lot of recently, which is probably a bad idea. I have been watching videos on cave diving disasters or just caving disasters. In an attempt to learn what not to do if I'm ever caving.
Brown.
Basically, I started off learning about like caving and brilliant. Drown. Don't go in. That's the first thing. I learned about caving.
Don't go in. That's pretty good. Stop it.
So I was learning about caving, trying to understand why people would do it. And then also if I ever found myself in a fucking situation when I'm on the ground, I don't know why. Basically, I've got a load of kind of, you know, standard irrational fears. Like I hate open water. I hate being in enclosed spaces. I'm just trying to learn what to do if I'm in those situations, how to remain calm and the rest of it.
Yeah.
And so I was watching people who actually do it, who were talking me through that. So that was helpful. And then I just went down the rabbit hole, as you do, and was reading about caving disasters. And also then on from that, cave diving disasters. And I, just listening to the stories of these guys who do cave diving and exactly what they go through and what, you know, and like the dangers inherent in that. And it's just like, are you stupid?
Can you imagine listening back to themselves going, why do I do this?
What the fuck are you doing? You know, why?
Yeah.
Also, this is the funny statistic. Half of the cave divers that have died diving in, I think it was the UK, Australia, a bit of Kanzuk, right? It was a Kanzuk statistic. Half of them that have died since 1971 have died trying to or achieving the retrieval of other bodies.
Brilliant. Do you know what? I think I've actually read that statistic somewhere as well. Like, I think I've actually seen that. Like, isn't it mayhem? Leave them there. They're not doing anything, are they? They're dead. Leave them. They're dead.
They're going to.
I tell you what, if they got there and they're dead, chances are you're going to get there.
You're going to die.
Yeah.
Because you're going to the place that they were in, you know, too far down or something like that. And you're also trying to, you know, go through some physical fucking labor.
Yeah.
And bring that person back. Fuck them. They died. Stupid bastards went 50 meters down more than they should have done. True. And drowned and suffered the consequences. Brilliant. So you're going to go down and get that. You fucking idiot.
Imagine, right? It's the kind of people, if someone jumped off a cliff and immediately blew up, right? Just died, splatted.
Yeah.
Yeah. You wouldn't then go, well, fuck me, I better jump down there and fucking clean him up.
I better get him. Yeah, so I better jump down there with a better mop.
Pop down there and sort it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like...
It's not going to happen, is it?
Having a laugh. You know, there's... So they were describing how easy it is to basically lose all visibility. And it showed the video.
Shut your eyes, didn't you?
It's the fact that most of these caves either don't have much running water or they have just a trickle. Mm. A lot of silt, sand, dirt, whatever, drops from the roof and just sits at the bottom.
Yeah.
So when you get to the bottom, you know, and people were talking about, like, you know, silting up the vision or that kind of thing. I didn't really realize how bad that would be until I watched a video of what happens when you literally just tap the bottom of a cave and diving
goes,
floor.
Yeah.
It just goes up. You know, so 3-4 meters, and they showed you, like, the visibility. You can barely see it there.
Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, incredible. It's so easy to get lost, really, isn't it?
The only option, they said, is literally just stay where you are, try and find a wall.
Brilliant.
You know, to hold on to.
Have a cry.
And stay there. But obviously, most of these stories are about people who have either silted something out or gone down too far, can't find their way back or whatever, and then panicked and silted up the place they're in.
Yeah.
Right. And the guys that survived just describing basically, like, you know, holding onto a wall, not being able to find the mainland or whatever, no visibility, and it'd be dark because they've turned the headlight off to stop, like, panicking, basically. Mm. So they can't see shit anyway because it's pitch black down there, no natural light. And then just watching their oxygen go down.
That is horrible, isn't it? What a horrible way to go, man.
And then. You know, the amount of people that have been in situations like that and then gone back down. God has told you this is not where man is meant to be. And you're still going down there.
Imagine getting to the surface and then going, oh, that was close, wasn't it? I'll tell you what I'll do next week, lads. Back down.
Straight on. Like, see if I can do it again. Another one, a caving one, was these four blokes that went into a cave in Ontario, Canada. Very famous one. So dangerous that you have to go to the national park office, sign waivers, and then you get given a key for the door.
Brilliant.
Because, you know, you're not allowed to go in there unless you sign a waiver, basically.
Unless you agree that death is imminent.
And so four of them went down there, and all four of them nearly died, right? Brilliant. Because the cave Brilliant. Flooded, and they couldn't get back up, whatever. So, but all four of them survived. One guy, like, you know, lost a bit of permanent feeling in his legs. The next year, what did they do? They thought, well, we didn't want to let the cave conquerors, so they went back down.
Brilliant.
And two of them died.
Unbelievable.
That is, you know, natural selection at work.
Yeah, okay? That's exactly it.
You deserve exactly that. You stupid bastard. What are you going to put? What is your mum going to put on your epitaph? He did exactly what I told him not to do twice.
It would just say, bastard. He did it again.
Yeah. Brilliant. This time, not so lucky. It was just, you know, there are so many stories. Actually, in terms of how many people do it now and obviously how safe it is now, it's different. Less and less people die year on year, even though more people are doing it. But that's because the equipment's better, and a lot of caves have now been
conquered,
mapped, and you know, main lines put in, and it's much harder to die because there will be people watching or whatever it is. You know, like, some caves have cameras in them.
Well, and the rest of it. You know what would be a really good idea? And I mean, this is me just talking shit, but if you could, you know, you've got this might be the £1 million idea, mate, to be honest. Imagine, you know, you've got drones and things, right? Why don't you essentially get a waterproof drone, strap it to your back, and if you die, someone else can drone you out of that shit.
Sorry?
Solved. Sounds you don't have to dive in. You can just fucking prepare. I'll tell you what that is. Pilot. It's a fucking submarine.
We invented them long before.
Get in one. There's windows. Hello.
And lights and oxygen.
and oxygen. You're safe.
Yes.
Fuck me. Well, there's another one. Caving, car safety, and Robert Popper. Thanks for listening. Give us a tweet. We're at @2spoons_coffee. Why not visit our website? 2spoonsofcoffee.wixsite.com/home.